Hi, you guys. It's Betsy Beers again. Happy New Year. I am the executive producer of Scandal, and this is Scandal Revealed, the official Scandal podcast. There may have been imitators over the holidays, but do not listen to them. Don't believe it. I'm sure there's some very frisky podcasters out there, but it's not the official. This is the official one. And to prove that this is the official one, we're going to talk about the episode you guys just saw. And we have two very special guests who I think will be able to speak about this episode very specifically about their characters, and because some things happened in this episode, you guys, that was pretty intense.
Things happened.
The zesty and delightful Katie Lowes.
Hi, everybody.
And the strappingly dashing George Newbern.
Thank you very much.
Woohoo!
Thank you.
You guys know them as Quinn and Charlie, as I like to call them, TV's fun couple.
I love that.
TV's fun couple hashtag.
I think we're hashtag TV's fun couple hashtag
Charlie Quinn.
Charlequin.
Yeah, I love Charlequin. That's my vote.
You like?
Charlequin is great. You know, it's funny because actually one of the Twitter questions I have for you guys is comes from over a cliff at KW's Gladiators. And they wanted to know, is the ship been determined yet?
Yes.
Chin, Quarly, or Chinley?
Ooh. Yeah,
I'm not with Chinley. I don't like the Chinley. Not
Chinley,
so much. Because
I'm
always conscious of my Chinley. So.
I am always conscious of my Chinley as well.
I don't think there's something sort of demeaning about Chinley.
I do too.
I agree. Chinley.
And Chinley.
I think Charlequin is the way we're going.
Chinley, yeah.
I think Charlequin is the way we're going.
Charlequin's got a good way. Because Chin is a little much like.
I like Charlequin.
Charlequin's great.
It's
a Charlequin romance.
It's dramatic. It's a romantic.
It's a Charlequin romance.
That's right.
Okay?
Done.
That's right.
And not to disappoint people, Katie Lowes is wearing a wonderful striped sort of seersucker blue and white dress, which just looks adorable and
you.
Is very saucy and sort of bright and springy on a day where in Los Angeles, actually, it's about 70 degrees.
Yeah.
And I'm really sorry the rest of the country.
It's a really bad day for
you're getting
so hot.
I was
going to really
wear
weird.
That today, actually, but I'm glad I didn't because we would have
You would have been weird in twins.
Yeah.
That would have been strange. But you, actually, I kind of want that sweater.
Yeah.
Me as well.
Oh, it's just
this cashmere.
Oh, it's an old J. Crew thing.
Quite handsome.
Gray, like, thank you, J. Crew, for such a nice piece of men's haberdashery.
Up all night knitting it. That's right.
It looks, it's gray and it's kind of got nice cream stripes, and he's wearing some nice Docksiders.
Thank
I say.
They're Sperry's. Yeah, Sperry's.
George Newbern Sperry's. They go together every day.
Yeah.
Well, I make fun of him constantly
she
for
I'm
it.
The whitest Sperry, man in
I think Sperry he's the whitest Topsiders. Man in America.
I'm going to say that I don't think I've really been around Sperry Topsider since boarding school for me.
Right?
Yeah, speaking about just a bunch of white Anglo-Saxon Protestants.
That's what I'm talking about.
And yeah, well,
he also wears them with socks, people. And
should I not have worn
what he
the
has
socks?
Them right now is cute navy socks that match the navy Sperry's.
It's pretty great.
What are the nth degree on this one?
You look great.
Okay.
You absolutely look great.
You do, George.
I'm in a bathrobe, and that's working out pretty nicely for me because it means that I can go from different things.
Yeah.
In the bathrobe, just in case I need to change.
That's right. That's right.
Which is super easy,
super comfortable.
Betsy, your next change is up.
Exactly. Super comfortable. Yep. I'm not wearing the bathrobe with my name embroidered on it that a friend of mine gave me, but just the usual terry cloth one, you know, which is kind of zesty.
Yes.
So now back to the episode, because I can run on for hours, clearly.
We all can.
Okay, so I love this episode because this was sort of like the coming out party of Quinn and Charlie as this bizarre relationship.
Yes, yes.
Kind of marked with one of my favorite scenes of all time. Charlie buying what I consider to be a really sweet gift for his girlfriend, which is a toolbox.
Everybody's got to have one.
It was very romantic. It was very sweet. It meant a lot to Quinn.
It was time. It was time because you've been working, you know, you've been borrowing all of Huck's stuff and
Your stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
It's time to grow up and it's time for Quinn to get her own red toolbox.
I think so. And I also feel like what's really sweet is the way Charlie's sort of running interference at B613 because you really, really want her to become an agent
I do. I mean, I think that, you know, OPA's shown her what they think of her. And I think she needs to be where she's loved. Loved and appreciated and valued.
Well, and I think Quinn, that's the thing. It's like Quinn has been struggling, you know, with where now that Huck has basically told her she's not a gladiator anymore and she's not at OPA. Not nice. So
Huck, step it on back.
That's happening. And now, you know, her new home and identity lies with Charlie, but she doesn't have a job and she needs money and she super needs B613 to hire her. And it's like, what does she need to do to get into this top secret agency that's running the country, man?
And I also sort of feel like with Quinn, you know, interestingly enough, she's probably somebody who's never not had a job her whole life. Granted, she's had two different identities.
She's worked since she was 16.
No, I think she went more of like the waitressing route.
Okay.
She definitely was probably a host during law school mm-hmm. at the
she
local restaurant.
Was a host.
Yeah,
that's true.
Like she's super smart. Brunch. Gets coffee. She might have been a barista. Something like that.
Yeah.
Super customer service related.
Absolutely.
She's people pleaser.
People pleaser for sure.
People pleaser, I think.
Absolutely.
So I think it's hard for her to not be employed, not have a place to go every day. And I think that Charlie and Quinn's relationship is super interesting. I think that there is something there in the feeling land,
sure.
but I think that there's also a lot needed there on Quinn's side of like a place to live, protection.
It's the island of misfit toys. And you think about your backstory, and I believe Charlie went to college maybe dropped out and then went to the Peace Corps and then probably got hooked into this, was great at languages mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. whatnot, and then got hooked in through mm-hmm. a friend of a friend, mm-hmm. and that was it for him.
Mm-hmm.
He never got to, I think, establish real relationships or girlfriends or go to bars. He's acting at everything. He's play acting at everything. And I think that Quinn is the first,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
he thinks, real thing that he's ever experienced.
I think actually you learn a lot about Charlie in the episode from last season, 752, with the relationship with Huck.
Right,
you see that.
And that's where I met
he
Huck.
He has nothing but disdain. Well, disdain's the wrong word. He has probably a little bit of longing, but he stays away from the concept of ever having an intimate relationship.
Right,
and strangely,
right.
it seemed like Huck was the closest
thing
he ever got.
He had to a good friend, right?
Yeah,
right.
So
it's just a weird
and you're taught in 752 that you're not allowed to have friends
right.
or family, you
right.
know, when you're in B613, you're just not allowed. So yeah, you've had nothing.
Yeah.
It's interesting now because B613 is different because Jake's in charge.
Right.
It's a whole new world.
I know.
Unbelievable.
It's a song.
Yeah.
A whole new world.
Just sing it.
There you go.
Drop into it. Just drop. I'm going to tell the story with my body. Just in the small office that we have.
Yeah, he's in charge, which now, you know, when everything kind of spun in its head in the mid-season finale of who's a bad guy, who's a good guy. Wait, now is Rowan's a good guy and the mom's a bad guy and now Jake's in charge of B613, so is B613 a good guy team or a bad guy team? I mean, it's what Shonda and you, Betsy, do so well. It's like we're living in this gray area where there's no easy answers and nothing's
right.
black or white and
right.
nothing's right or wrong. It's just like really complicated.
And everyone is fighting for their
lives. And everybody's fighting for their lives.
It's true.
Know?
I mean, I think it's totally true. And I think there's some great moments in this episode, too, where I think especially that kind of scary kidnapping where you guys actually end up hurting the child, but you kind of can't believe that they did it.
When I read that scene, I mean, for you guys listening, I don't know who knows this out there, but before Scandal, I was a very, very hardworking nanny.
And she was really mean to me.
In Los Angeles.
Oh, sorry.
And I was a nanny and a babysitter. And so when I read the scene where I was actually going to kidnap a child and put him in the backseat of a car, it felt like all sorts of wrong to me. And I kind of like looked at Shonda across the table read and was like, really? Am I really going to do this? Am I really going to
coax this
kid?
Just for some perspective, too, this is a woman who read scenes of her drilling people. And
it's
not at all concerned.
Oh, no, that didn't concern me at all.
But shoving a kid in the back of the car was like too much.
I will drill and torture any man or woman.
But a kid is defenseless.
They deserve to be there.
They
a kid, it's not
choice.
His or her
That's
little
right.
fault.
That's right.
It felt terrible. And I also felt like I was calling upon, when I did the scene, I remember going up into my like baby sitter's voice, which is like how you speak when you speak to children, which was super upsetting
he
to me
totally
because that's
did,
how
too.
I spoke to all the little children that I used to be paid to like care for and love and make sure that nothing bad happened to them. And now I'm kidnapping this child. So that felt really crazy and scary. But also, hey guys, like from Quinn's point of view, like she's doing the job and nothing actually bad happened to the kids. So we're all good,
mm-hmm.
you
no,
know?
It was.
I think Quinn and Charlie do have a line. I don't think they would have actually
would
done
it.
No.
They play video games.
They have some sort of
gave
soul.
Gave them some food.
I like the food option.
Yeah.
That basically all you did was stuff
candy.
The kids through candy and
it's
ice cream.
So great. I used to do that when I was a baby.
Did you really?
Oh my gosh. Like I would just there were just days where I just was tired of saying no and I felt bad.
You just eat that.
You know, sometimes you babysit for these families where the kid has like never seen a cupcake or like a hot dog and everything's like
It's Los Angeles.
It's just about to say
West Los Angeles.
It's great, they're really healthy.
For most of you guys probably out in other places. You know, there obviously is a movement that it's great to keep your kids away from lots of sweets and stuff, but there is a kind of culture here. There are a bunch of people who raise their kids and they've never actually had sugar.
Yeah. Ever. Yeah. And then you bring them to another kid's birthday party and there
and
is sugar there.
Over.
And it's literally insanity is what occurs. And I can't say no. I feel bad. I'm like, I get it. The kid wants a Hostess cupcake. I get it. What am I supposed to do? I can say no 150 times and I can try to force them to leave the party and
but
then they're screaming, crying. But you know what?
The lesson your food is love.
You know what it is? No, this is the lesson,
food is love.
Food is love. And you know what?
Everything in moderation. Hello.
Just ladies and gentlemen,
love in moderation.
We just
love
said that together and didn't even look at each other.
Thank
because
you.
When I was growing up back in 1857,
I know
it was really great. Bread was 3 cents. My mother, I remember my mother and father, the deal was there was always sugar around, but you never eat that much of it because it wasn't something you like.
Right.
And I would have these friends
deprived.
Come over and all they would do would unhook their jaws and dump the entire candy drawer in.
Yeah,
and you'd think.
Yeah, it's just everything in moderation. You eat healthy when you can. There's a birthday party. You have a kid.
Kidnapping moderation.
Look,
only
kidnapping
do when you have to.
In
that's
moderation.
Right.
You that's only
right. try not to
right.
kill the victim.
Try
that's
kill
right.
Them.
So if you guys are actually taking any of this as child rearing advice, I really, really warn you,
you
against
need to see a doctor.
It. Yeah, because I don't have children. I have a dog. George has children,
children
but clearly is not being responsible.
And I don't
and
have
Katie,
children, but I was a nanny for a long time.
I was a nanny, and she's still going through post-traumatic stress syndrome.
It is
that.
True. Mm-hmm. It is true.
So I'm sure what any of you listeners are doing with your children is tremendous, and we're very supportive. Try to keep them away from Quinn and Charlie. If for some reason you're somebody who is a coroner, who everybody's worried about leaking information about the vice president's dead husband.
Yes.
That's it.
That's
just
right.
That's
the
moral
right.
of the story.
That's right.
Yeah.
I think it's just, and it's an important moral of the story to have, don't you guys?
I do. I do.
Completely agree.
Just spot on.
So glad we got there, because that was not a long drive. And also, just for the record, this episode was cuckoo balls.
Yeah. Oh, my
god. Oh, my God. I remember that. Well,
I feel like I use these words, like cuckoo bananas, cuckoo balls. Like, these are now such everyday, these are terms I use
cuckoo.
To describe
cuckoo.
What
cuckoo.
Is going
also
on.
Also crazy.
Yeah.
And, like, the whole thing now, we've got Andrew, who was Fitz's, like, running mate now, and it turns out there is something going
there's something
on
going
there.
On
there's
there.
Some something, and something happening.
And I'm not,
isn't that great,
it's a
though?
Little uncomfortable.
Super awesome.
I mean, it's just super awesome, though, for me. I mean,
so complicated.
She finally
it's
gets
so
a little attention that she's needed for a long time.
She has, and I totally agree. And you, I think Quinn, there's one moment after the kidnapping where she watches the team go. And she misses being a gladiator.
She misses,
know,
absolutely.
Really
even though she has the sweet, sweet love of Charlie.
I got it.
Look,
yeah,
Charlie's wonderful, and I... No, there's. It is. Charlie's wonderful, and
George,
she really wants
check,
to be.
George,
she really,
check,
she really,
George is nodding his head.
She really wants to be in B613, and who knows what's going to happen with that. But I also think that there's something that was built last season between Huck and Quinn, as him being her mentor and she the mentee, and him really taking her under his wing. And I just feel like, she misses that, and it ended real badly.
It did,
and
real badly.
The bridge has been burned. Yeah, I think that there is that. That longing, and I don't know. I have literally no idea what's going to happen. But I do feel really lucky because I get to do all these scenes with the wonderful George
Thank
Newbern.
Thank you so much,
See
Katie.
You
said,
guys.
Likewise.
I'm feeling
likewise.
So much kumbaya love right now.
Kumbaya.
Yeah,
this is good about
There's just so much singing.
All I have to do is say the song's title,
that's
and
right.
it starts.
Well, that's right.
And
it we went
like,
to camp.
If you guys, this was a question that we've asked several times, and I don't have it in front of me, but if Charlie and Quinn had a theme song, what do you think it would be?
Have we sung anything together yet?
No, maybe Hit Me With Your Best Shot, Pat Benatar.
That's good.
Nice.
Hit Me With Your Best Shot.
Down, there you go.
Down, why don't you hit me with your best shot?
See, he's actually playing an air guitar.
Come on,
and George is also doing the air guitar. Yeah. So
amazing.
Hashtag Charlie Quinn.
Hashtag Karen B wants to know at CA Karen B, do you miss being a... Hashtag gladiator.
Hi, Karen. I do miss being a gladiator. I do. Or Quinn does. I just also think that she tried. I think that Huck completely tortured her and ripped her tooth out, and she still marched into OPA and said, come on, aren't you going to say something? Aren't you going to say sorry? Which he doesn't. And so I think she's tried all that she can, and it's a whole new world.
I think she's above that in many ways. I mean, I think that's, you know, I know, I do. I think you've got bigger and better things.
Oh,
see? Oh, you know what? And this was a question, because I'm a jerk. Future screenwriter at Spelling Geek. had that question.
Oh, thank you.
Didn't even see it on the piece of paper that I have, which the lovely Holly Fisk, who's sitting with us and
thanks,
actually produces these phenomenal podcasts every week. She and my terrific assistant, Akua, come up with a lot of stuff. And I love this question. Okay, Jen K at Jen_Koch. Do you think Charlie's love of sweets will rub off on Quinn? Speaking of candy.
Oh, yeah.
I think it will.
I think it will, because, you know, you got to have a little extra, little ATP.
You got to have that sugar
system.
Rush to really get through all the things we're doing.
There's time to nap after, but you got to go.
You
have to get the
it.
High, and then you can crash.
That's right.
That's right.
You can crash. It kind of depends on how long the torturing lasts for, though. Don't you have to, like, pop Hershey's Kisses while you're drilling somebody if you start to sink into
I think that's a great idea. I think we're looking for the donuts and the lollipops. What else has Charlie eaten?
I just love nothing better than donuts. I've said it
donuts
before.
Donuts are my favorite.
I just love donuts.
Well, donuts and Oreos, but the two are just...
It's just a perfect
food. Donuts have pretty much vitamin D for donut.
Everything you need in it. That's right.
I love
I think
a glazed donut with
donuts are so delicious. I remember the first time we met Charlie, for some reason I was transfixed by the amount of sugar you put on cereal, which I thought, I like to think he has sugared cereal and he dumped sugar on top of the sugar.
I'll just tell you a little health fact. And you get yourself plain Rice Krispies. If you think about how much sugar you put, you should put like 2 or 3 teaspoons. That's plenty. But a bowl of Frosted Flakes has like 10 already in there and you feel like, you don't notice the sugar, do you?
No.
You don't
notice.
So when you see porn, that's still like half.
That's what the milk is for.
Right. Yes. Then you get sugar milk stuff.
Things
to drink.
With the doodles. Yeah.
Just remember drinking the chocolate milk.
Yes.
From the bowl.
Once again, please do not take these as nutritional hints.
No.
It's not a good
idea.
It's
got vitamin C, chocolate, vitamin D.
Exactly.
Donut.
Aquarius gal at K. Petkovic. Do you guys laugh and crack each other up on set?
Constantly.
I mean, it was not good the other day. Scott Foley. That was not good.
No.
Scott Foley.
I mean, the thing about it is that Charlie and Quinn have this, they're kind of trying sort of to be like regular boyfriend and girlfriend in the capacity that they can.
It's just a train wreck.
But they are in the most non-girlfriend boyfriend situations you could possibly be in.
Yeah.
And so I'm constantly looking at George dressed as Charlie with God knows what is going on and what we've gotten ourselves into. And yet he's saying really nice, supportive boyfriend things that you would want a boyfriend to say.
It's like, what is wrong with this
picture? But we're doing horrible things. And so constantly I'm breaking and laughing and making fun of George because he can't remember his lines or something.
Come on now.
No, he's gotten really good at it lately. You know, George is a father of three, so when we're shooting things at like 1 a.m., which is like where I excel,
I'm in a third.
George
is
gone.
For a while.
He's done. So is Scott Foley. I mean, anyone who has kids and gets up at like 5 o'clock in the morning, when we start getting to like the midnight oil, the 1 a.m. oil, like the lines, if George sneezes, they're gone.
I'm not kidding. It's like literally half my brain matter goes with a sneeze. I'm like, well, there it was.
It's true.
Call script supervisor because I'm not going to get that back.
So I just make fun of him constantly.
And you look to Scott, you look to the other partner to help you. And Scott Foley, I look at him and he's like,
you're not getting any help from
him. No, no.
Nothing.
No. No.
Then I'm not going to look to you. Your head's down.
Oh, no.
And the camera's right on.
Now, interesting fun fact for you guys. When we were casting the part of Charlie, one of the things which was incredibly important, which you were like, you walked in and we wanted somebody who seemed really likable and really, really normal.
Because I'm a rat bastard.
Because it could be anybody. The point is, it could be anybody.
That's what's so creepy
and
about
people, you know, some wonderful actors came in, but they presented much more as potentially dangerous. And the great thing about you, George, too, is that, I mean, your history is playing a lot of really nice boyfriends. And
guilty as charged.
Which is a lovely thing.
Yeah.
And
we're
using it to such amazing advantage here just corrupting your reputation.
Corrupting your sweet boy next door good
fabulous.
Guy.
It's all right. It's all good.
Gentleman, Southern.
Yes.
We're just raking that across
the
pole.
Sorry.
One last one from these guys. Annette Evelyn at Annie340 wants to know, are Quinn and Charlie in love or is this a temporary fling? Hashtag love you together.
Aww.
Hashtag love you together. You want me to say?
Go for it, George.
I think that he thinks he's in love with her and I think that she thinks she loves him too.
Yeah.
But I think they're just messed up.
They don't know what's real, they don't know what's capable. But they have really dark regions of their heart and they're trying to play boyfriend and girlfriend to
That's
the best
right.
of their
That's
abilities.
Right. And his idea of protecting her, I think, is
Huge.
If a normal person were to hear it, they'd think, geez, that guy's controlling.
Right.
Run. But it's the only way he knows how to protect somebody is to overdo it.
Right. Well, because he knows what happens if you don't protect somebody.
Exactly,
people like Charlie come and get
and
you.
And take you out.
Which is
kind of... And take you out.
And also, by the way, Huck already did that
and
once.
Huck already did that.
This is a show... I mean, this is crazy. The stakes are so high. That's why it's so interesting to have this kind of normal attempt at boyfriend-girlfriend-ness.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
The stakes are so high, we could die, we could get tortured, we could rip limbs off. I mean, it's just... Like,
no, and what's great is, honestly, when you think about it, the only two sort of semi-attempts at normalcy are you and Abby and David Rosen.
Yeah. Yeah.
And David
yeah.
Rosen and Abby, they constantly are making fun of it because it's like, this is normal girlfriend boyfriend. You asked
right.
me to actually spy on so-and-so
yeah,
and
right.
get
right.
information
right.
on X,
right.
Y, Z.
That's right.
Right. right.
And it's just as screwy-pooey as you guys.
Yeah.
Which
how
is
romantic.
Just,
he's taking me to get a torture toolbox at the hardware store.
You guys, thank you so much for doing
thank
this.
You.
This
thank
is
you,
so
Betsy.
Much fun.
It was so much
and
fun. And
I'm going to be back next week. These guys, mercifully for their sakes, won't have to do this again for a little while.
Please,
but
we love it.
We super, super appreciate you guys
yeah,
coming
and
showing
up to
discuss
this. Thank you guys for tweeting
this.
At us and listening to the
we
Scandal Revealed
oh, yeah.
official podcast and for asking us such awesome questions.
Thanks. See,
yeah.
exactly. And next week, we're going to talk about episode 312, which is called We Do Not Touch the First Ladies. Yeah, that's going to air on ABC Thursday, March 6th at 10. Also, as you know, a fine television programming named Grey's Anatomy
Woo-hoo!
Is on the air at 9 o'clock Thursdays on ABC. So do check that out as well. Yeah. We like
yes.
that. They're doctors. They're
Super.
Saucy. There's some stuff going down there.
There
you might just want to see. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter. Our official hashtag is #scandal. I bet you guys could not have
Probably
figured that out, right?
Where'd you get that?
Like I was going to say, that took years for us to figure that one out. We're on Pinterest, Tumblr, and of course, for those of you who are like me, who like to just go to one website that you recognize, abc.com.
There you go.
Sure.
This is Betsy Beers. I'm the executive producer of Scandal. This is the Scandal Revealed podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll be back next week.
Thank you, guys.
Yay, thank you.
Bye.